We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy New Year to you, Brevard County. Once again, this is Bob Arthurs coming to you from the studios of WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. And we are trusting that you are believing God for a great, great New Year. 2015, I pray that it will be the year in your life that you know the presence of the Lord the most, that you grow in your walk with the Lord and in the Word of God, and that you experience His presence and His power in your everyday life. We have just come off of our First Fruits Day yesterday. We had a missionary with us who's a missionary, and he travels in places that I can't mention here on the radio. But how I first came to know this missionary was he was ministering at another church here in Brevard County. The pastor brought him over. He was describing the situation that was going on. The missionary said, "I'd like to go and meet him." And it was not long after we came to Merit Assembly of God. It would have been 1993, early part of 1993. And he said, "I'd like to go meet him." And when the missionary came to our church, this is kind of, tells you a little bit about where we came from. He talked with us. He saw our condition there. He reached into his own wallet and pulled out money. The missionary pulled out money and blessed our church because he felt prompted of the Lord to do that. And I just want to encourage you that whatever the Spirit of the Lord quickens you to do, I encourage you to step out and do that, because that is something that I have never forgotten. In fact, when we scheduled him, he called to confirm, and I reminded him of what had taken place 22 years ago. And so I want you to know that it's been our privilege to support him. We haven't been able to support his ministry for all 20 years or what, however many, 22 it's been. But we have supported him, and God has been using him mightily. And so we're very thankful for that. If I have told you about one thing that was very instrumental in the growth of Merit Assembly of God, I've told you about our heart for missions, and we are serious about missions. We not only give for our missions, we pray for our missionaries, and we're looking forward to taking a missions trip whenever the Lord opens that door. I've been on a couple. We look forward to being able to go on more. And not only me, but other people in our congregation, because it really develops a heart for the lost, not only around the world, but it'll also give you a heart for the lost here in your community. And so if you've not been on a missions trip, I encourage you to go on one, not just so much for what you can do out there, but what that can do for you. My missions trips gave me a whole new sense of appreciation for the blessed life that we have here in America. Our missionaries to Fiji have been sharing with our church about the way that God has taken this first year that they were back in Fiji, and that it is now getting ready to blossom. I believe that there's going to be six new sites of their Bible school that will be teaching here in 2015. So that's just days away. And they were such a blessing to me. They are also from Oklahoma. We're big Oklahoma fans. They took me to see the Oklahoma-Clemson game, and that was a precious memory, a lot of fun. So, but I've told you about that one trip and how, or that one aspect about how when we gave to missions, that and God had asked us to start tithing as a church to missions, that was very instrumental. There was another key point in our congregation's growth that was, I believe, a pivotal moment. It was a turnaround incident, and that was a message that I preached back in the year, I believe it was the year 2000. I believe it was the year 2000. If it was not the end of 2000, it was the beginning of 2001. It was right around in that time frame. And so I'm going to take you back to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. And I'm going, because we've been dealing with the Lord's Prayer. We've been dealing about your kingdom come. And then the next line, well, I'll read Matthew 6, 9. It says, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," or from evil. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And the pivotal moment that I was referring to came when God laid a message upon my heart, and it was out of the book of Leviticus. There is a principle, we talk about it on multiple occasions, but if somebody says, "Oh, the book of Leviticus doesn't have anything in there that would really be worthwhile reading," I want you to know that that is just not the case. If you'll give me just a moment here, I'll go ahead and share with you here, because after your kingdom come, it talks about your will be done, your will be done. And that is very important. We want the will of God. Everybody that I know in the body of Christ, if you were asking them, "Do you want the will of God to be done?" they would say yes. But the will of God is not some abstract thing that only affects a few people, but it is a very concrete thing that affects a large number of people. And we want the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that means not just around the globe, not just in Fiji, but I want the will of God to be done in my life in Brevard County. I want it to be done in every area of my life. I want the will of God to be done in my finances. I want the will of God to be done in my health. I want the will of God to be done in our church. I want the will of God to be done in our home, and that's where the rubber meets the road. And so what happened to me several years ago was that the Lord laid upon my heart that I was supposed to preach the year of Jubilee. Now, when I preached this, I wasn't 50 years old. It wasn't the 50th anniversary of the church. It wasn't any of that sort of stuff. It was just something that God laid upon my heart. And it is, the year of Jubilee is talked about in Leviticus, the 25th chapter. And let me begin reading in verse number 8. It says, "And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years." This is in Leviticus 25:8. "And the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it is the jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years of crops, he shall sell to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price, and according to the fewer number of years, you shall diminish its price. For he sells to you according to the number of the years of the crops. Therefore, you shall not oppress, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. So you shall observe my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them. You will dwell in the land in safety. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and dwell there in safety. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year, since we shall not sow nor gather in our own produce? Then I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year, and it will bring forth produce enough for 3 years. And you shall sow in the eighth year and eat old produce until the ninth year, until its produce comes in. You shall eat of the old harvest. The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me, and in all the land of your possession you shall grant redemption of the land. Now, I'm not going to read everything there is about the year of Jubilee here, but let me give to you basically the premise of the year of Jubilee, and that was that in the year of Jubilee, it was a year of debts being canceled. It was about a day of restoring the inheritance of the people to the people that originally inherited it. There were people who would, a lot of times, they would take their inheritance and they would sell the land to somebody who would grow a crop on it that would produce a harvest. And so the other people would do all of the work and make the proceeds from it, but they would buy the land. But at the end of 50 years, it was to be restored to its original owner. And so one of the things that we are proclaiming at Merit Assembly of God is that we are about restoring value. We are about restoring people to God. We are about restoring marriages. We are about restoring health. We are about restoring the those who are lost to their Savior. We are about restoring wisdom. We are about restoring purpose to life. We are about restoring things to their original purpose. And so I was looking at this year of Jubilee that God had commanded for the children of Israel. The year of Jubilee is mentioned again in the last chapter of Leviticus, in the 27th chapter. It is talked about, and I was reflecting upon this, I began to wonder how I was supposed to communicate this to our congregation. And again, this was back a number of years ago. And listen, when God lays a message upon my heart, I believe that he wants to do something with it. And so I began to preach the year of Jubilee to our congregation, even though it technically did not meet the criteria of all of the other elements that were listed here in the Old Testament law. I believed that God wanted me to preach that to our congregation. And so I began to proclaim the year of Jubilee. I began to proclaim it in January. And what I mentioned to our congregation was this. I'm proclaiming that this is a year of debt cancellation, but I don't want you writing to your mortgage company and saying, look, Pastor Bob has proclaimed this year as the year of debt cancellation, and so I am just thanking God that my debt, my mortgage has been canceled, my car payment has been canceled, all of my credit card payments, all of those have been canceled. I said, you can't do that, because if you begin to act in that manner and you default on your debts, they're going to come back and they're going to repossess those things. You see, the year of Jubilee only works for people who have the authority to make that pronouncement. And so what I told our congregation was this: you don't have the authority to declare to somebody that you owe money to, hey, this is my year of Jubilee and I no longer have to pay that back to you. I said, but you do have the privilege and the right and the responsibility to go to those who you are holding a grudge against, who have wounded you, who have hurt you. Maybe they've defaulted on something in your life. And you have the right to go to them and say, look, God is promised that he is going to be so good to me that I can extend forgiveness to you. And that was the message that I preached to our congregation. And that is, we need to be people who forgive. And I want you to know that began to transform. It transformed our congregation. I preached it in January, and we began to see manifestations of that come in a very short period of time. And so I encourage you in this early part of January, as we are beginning this year, to make it a year of Jubilee and grant forgiveness to those who may have hurt you. Instead of allowing yourself to be a perpetual bookkeeper, keeping a ledger and opening up the book, I saw a real funny skit about a husband and wife, and they were constantly keeping a ledger of what the other person had done. And most of the time they were keeping track of what they did wrong. Isn't it amazing that we have a lot better recollection about things that have been done to injure us or wound us than we do about those things that were able to help or bless us? I don't mean to go from preaching to meddling here or teaching to meddling, but I want to encourage you today to allow God to renew your mindset today and fix your eyes upon him as your provider and your healer today, to the point that you are empowered to act on this year of Jubilee to grant forgiveness. A lot of times what happens is people who've been wounded by other people, the other people may not even realize that they have done something to injure the other person. They are just going on with their life. Some people know that they've injured other people and they just don't care and they go on with their life. And yet the victims live with the trauma of that over and over and over again. And I'm not here declaring to you today that if you just say, you know what, I forgive them, that all of the consequences and ramifications are going to be done away with. But I will tell you this, the shackles upon your soul, the shackles upon your mind and your emotions and your personality and some of the things that have taken place in you physically, that those will break off and you will begin to enjoy life being freed from carrying the burden of unforgiveness. Now, if you'll go with me back to Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 14, right after the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus says that you're supposed to end that prayer, amen, so be it, he then includes this words, for. And that preposition, for, it sets the stage for what follows, and it's talking about the manifestation of what was just prayed. In verse number 12, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And so it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And I know that a lot of times we want to talk about that forgiveness is something that we receive, but I want to declare to you today that forgiveness is also something that we should bestow. In fact, if you were to read the way that the scriptures talk about forgiveness, it talks about with the measure that we use, it will be the measure that is used on our behalf. And so if we practice unforgiveness, then we are going to experience unforgiveness. And I know that a lot of people really struggle with that concept, but I want you to know it is a biblically sound principle that you and I, we sometimes hinder our own spiritual relationship with God because we refuse to forgive the people that we see around us. Now, here is a realization that I have, and I'm not saying this from a theoretical standpoint. I'm saying this from a very practical application, and that is this: the things that I have done to disappoint my Heavenly Father and bring grief to His heart are far worse than anything that anybody has ever done to me. And I'm not saying that to say that nobody's ever done anything hurtful to me. I have had people pronounce curses over my life. I have been blamed for things that I had nothing to do with. I've been fired from jobs. I've been promised jobs that did not come to pass. I've been promised jobs, and then when a new situation arose, they said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. We can't work with a growing family at this point in time." And so I've had a lot of things that have happened to me, but the things that I have done to grieve the heart of God are far, far worse than anything that's ever been done to me. And so I challenged our congregation, and I challenged them with this aspect. In the Old Testament, which those things were just a shadow of the things to come in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, a year of Jubilee only came every 50 years. And if you were to look, there is even a connection with how long they spent, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, spent in Babylonian captivity. It was 70 years, and the prophet Jeremiah says that length of time was to give the Sabbath rest to the land of Israel. In other words, they had been in the land of Israel for close to 500 years, and they were supposed to have practiced 70 years of Jubilee, and they hadn't practiced it. And so God said, "I'm going to give the land the rest it needs myself." And so that was how long they were in captivity, because they did not implement what God had told them to do. So that was the Old Testament, every 50 years. Every 50 years, I guess 70 Sabbaths would be 350 years, whatever. God said, however long the land needs to rest and recuperate, that's how long I'm going to give it. Here's the New Testament principle. With Jesus, every day is a year of Jubilee. Every day is a year of Jubilee. Today, if you are walking around carrying burdens in your life because of things that you have done against the heart of God, and the devil comes to try and present to you that you are all beat up and you're damaged goods and God doesn't want to have anything to do with you, I want you to know that that is not true. But I've also got good news. You don't have to wait till Sunday to pray the sinner's prayer. You don't have to come to Merit Assembly of God to get your heart right with God. Today can be the day that your debts are canceled by God. Today can be your year of Jubilee. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you not only to be a recipient of forgiveness, but to practice that forgiveness right now. So if you are listening today and you have got things in your life that may be out of alignment with God, or if you've got people who've done things to you, I want you to pray this prayer with me today. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that even though I have wronged you, you have forgiven me. Please forgive me of my sins. Cancel my debts. Restore to me the joy of salvation. Restore to me the inheritance that you have in store for us. God, I thank you. I pray that you would be the Lord of my life and you would lead me in the perfect law of liberty, of love, and freedom. In Jesus' name. And Father, we cancel the debt, the hurts, the grudges. We forgive the wounds that have been inflicted upon us by others. God, today, with the same measure of complete and total forgiveness that you have used in our life, we implement that day today to extend a year of Jubilee to those who have wounded us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now for the rest of the story. I preached that message to our congregation, and I received a letter about 4 weeks later. It was from the people that we owed our church mortgage to. And they wrote a letter to us and they said, "You have been so faithful in making payments on this that we have canceled the rest of your mortgage." Because we stepped out as a congregation and granted freedom to those who wounded us, our mortgage was completely and totally forgiven and written off. And then at that same time period, a person made a commitment to our congregation that transformed our financial world. Today, I just want to tell you, you can't afford to hold on to unforgiveness. It will rob you of the peace and the presence and the blessing of God in your life. I can't promise you today that if you cancel somebody's debt, that you're going to get your mortgage canceled. But I can tell you, you'll be able to walk with a lot more freedom and joy in your life. Today, we want to thank Wyrick Air, Carla, and Dennis, as they have helped bring this radio program to you. If you have any air, heat, or electrical situations that you need addressed, you can reach them at 632-9538. That's 632-9538. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless, and I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless.